seated. I'd like to first welcome our visitors here today. Thank you for joining us. It's been a real big blessing working with your children. We've ministered to their heart, and they've also ministered to our heart. And so, first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for allowing them to be here with us. Today, we're going to be looking at a portion of Scripture, a message from the Word of God that is the most important message that we can hear. It is a message that the devil, that Satan, does not want to be preached. And so this morning there's going to be a lot of tension. There's going to be a spiritual warfare this morning as this message is going to be preached and the devil does not want you to hear it. Not every church will come to you and preach this message because the devil does not want you to hear it. And so we're going to look at the most important message that the Bible has to teach this morning. And there are going to be decisions that we're going to have to make. Are we going to listen to the devil and harden our hearts to this message? Or are we going to listen to the Word of God, what He has to tell us, and accept it? Later on this afternoon, there are going to be some younger adults that are going to get baptized, which is a very important thing. And so, again, just wanted to thank you for being a part of this and for allowing your kids to be in this wall, in these four walls, because we know what goes on outside of these walls. It's not pretty, but praise the Lord, and thank you for having your kids be a part of this. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time to be together for this morning as your message gets preached. We pray that you would convict the spirits and the souls of every individual in this room, that they would understand the importance of your message and the love behind it. We thank you. We pray no other word gets preached except for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned before, the devil does anything he can to stop this message from being preached. This morning, there was another brother that was also supposed to preach. Now, there are many messages in the Bible, many good messages. This one is the most important and needed to be preached today. And so the devil tried to stop this message from being preached. But praise the Lord that we're here today and we can hear this message. The other brother is a good brother. I love him very dearly. Close brother in the faith. Yet this morning we need to hear the gospel. And the message that's going to be brought comes from a story of a man who remains unnamed. A little bit of background of this story. It's a man from Ethiopia. Has a lot of treasures to his name. In fact, is in charge of all the queen's treasures. And this man, I assume, looks up at the stars, looks around in this world, and knows there is a God. He sees there is a God and he seeks after him. In seeking after him, he hears of this nation of Israel, who are supposed to be God's people. And he gets a hold of the scriptures. The one that we know of is Isaiah. He gets a hold of the scriptures and reads them. This man goes out to Israel from Ethiopia to worship this God, to try and find this God. He gets there for one of their most important events, looks for God and walks away, begins to walk away a little bit disappointed because he does not find him. The nation who's supposed to, where God is supposed to dwell, is not there. But that's where the story in the book of Acts, chapter 8, starts. So if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to the book of Acts and begin reading. It's the book after John, before Romans. We're going to start reading in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26. I'll give you guys a second to turn there. It says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, or the treasurer, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to preach the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Verse 36, and they went on their way and came to a certain water. And the eunuch or the treasurer said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Son, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded his chariots to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. We're going to go ahead and stop there. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his word. The first thing we're going to notice as we open up this scripture is that the Ethiopian eunuch, or another word for eunuch is treasurer, the Ethiopian treasurer knew there was a God. This morning, do you know there is a God? It's amazing how many atheists there are in this world who don't believe there is a God. But you know what the scripture says is that we can see creation and know. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. See, creation tells us two things. One, it tells us there is a God. And two, it tells us how powerful he is. His eternal power and Godhead. The earth. How many miles around? 24,901.55 miles around. Now, I don't know if you can comprehend that number. I can't. You know how fast the earth spins? 1,000 and 40 miles per hour. It's amazing we don't fly off of it. You stick your head out of the window of a car going 40 miles per hour, your cheeks are flapping. The earth spins at 1,040 miles per hour. Do you know how far the earth is from the sun? Just from the sun. At its closest point, 91 million miles. 91 million miles. And gravity is at 9.78 meters per second squared. These numbers might not mean anything to us right now, but we're going to see what they mean in a second. If gravity was any less, we probably would fly off of the earth. If it was any more, our legs couldn't hold us up. This was one of the most interesting things I read. Oxygen, the percent of oxygen in the air is at 21%. At 25%, things spontaneously combust. Things will just explode at 25% oxygen in the air. At 16.7%, you and I don't live. That's not a very big gap. With everybody cutting down trees that provide oxygen for us and the pollution going in the air, why is it that oxygen still stays at 21%? If you don't believe it's because of God and His grace, you haven't been paying attention. The human cell, the complexity of just the human cell, if you take one thing out, we don't survive. Is this all by accident? Could this have happened just off of chance? You know what the probability of it? You want to talk numbers. What's the probability of everything coming together and the complexity that it is from small to the vast universe? What's the probability of everything coming together by chance? We want to talk math and science. You know what the probability is? It's zero. There is no chance. The math will say 0.17 zeros, 1 7. That's what the math says. So basically, it's zero. There's no possible way that that's going to happen. Norman Geisler writes a book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, because it takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe there is God. Let's think about this logically. It takes, obviously, more faith to believe that something came from nothing than to believe that God created all things and perfectly. You think about our universe, how vast and how powerful the Lord our God must be to create it. For light to shine from the sun to earth, you know how long it takes light to travel that far? 91 million miles? 8 seconds. It takes light 8 seconds to travel that far. Now, I want to put you in perspective. Do you know how long it takes light to travel from one end of our universe to the other? If it takes 8 seconds to travel 91 million miles, it takes 14 billion years for light to travel from one end of the universe to the other. So we know there is a God, and we know how powerful He is. I want to tell you something this morning. God has a message. I would hate to be on the other side of God's message. God has a message for us this morning. Will you accept it? We're going to see what God's message is for us this morning. And I'm going to summarize it for us in one verse. You can look up right at that wall. If everybody wants to turn right there, John 3:16 summarizes the message of God. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are eternal consequences for listening, to not listen to God's message. There are also eternal consequences for listening to God's message. Eternal consequences. Eternal life is what we're talking about. Are we going to spend eternal life with God in heaven, or are we going to perish and spend eternal life in hell? You think about how powerful God is in creating this universe. He could have said whatever he wanted to for us to be in heaven. He could have said, wear a suit and tie on Sunday. But he didn't say that. He could have said, whoever's wearing a red shirt when he returns will be in heaven. I would be wearing a red shirt every single day. It's not up to me to decide what God says that's going to take us to heaven, but it's up to him. And you know what the wonderful thing about that is? Is he loves us, so he wants us all to be there. Hell is a real place. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more, how it's not meant for you and for me. It was never created for you and for me. But we all deserve it. Every single one of us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. And I want to read from verse 19. Luke chapter 16. This is a true story that Jesus tells about a man in hell. There was a certain rich man, it says in Luke 16, 19, a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus receiveth evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. We're going to stop there. Hell is a real place that Jesus talks about. You do not want to be in this rich man's position. He doesn't ask to be taken out of hell. He knows that's his place. But what does he ask for? He asks for Lazarus just to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. The torment of hell is beyond what we can comprehend. And another sad thing is hell is eternal. You're not there for 100 years and then go to heaven after that. You're not there for 1,000 years. We think of how long it takes light to travel from one end to the other of our universe. 14 billion years. Yet in comparison to eternity, it's like a speck of dust. I tell you this not because there's anything good in me, but I tell you this because I actually do care about your spiritual well-being. I actually do care where your soul is going to go. I didn't prepare for nothing. I have a job. I work. I have a family to raise. But I actually do care where your soul ends up. You know, what's more amazing is that God cares where your soul ends up. You think of your children that are coming here today. That if they decided that, God forbid, they wanted to, your daughter wants to go into prostitution or your son wants to go join this gang, would you not reach out to them because you know where that ends up? You know that those two things both end up, you either dead, in jail, or addicted to drugs. That's the reality of life. And so this morning, I reach out to you with this message because I know where not believing in Jesus Christ, where you end up. And I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. But most importantly, God doesn't want that for you. That's why He loved us and sent His Son. You know, Jesus is the Savior of the world. But He's a different kind of Savior, a different kind of hero than you and I might be used to. He's not the hero that is the knight in shining armor. He's not the Superman that the movies portray. He's not even the Spider-Man. He did not come born in a castle, but born in a manger. Born where animals eat. He did not come on a stallion, but came on a donkey. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was despised and rejected of men. He's a hero like no other. The same man who created the universe came down and laid His life down for you and me. No one took His life, but He laid it down so we can spend eternity with Him. You see, that's where the Ethiopian eunuch is reading in Acts chapter 8. If we go back to Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was, in verse 32, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken to the earth. You see, there wasn't good guys and bad guys here that the Lord could side on the good guys' side and fight the bad guys. We were all bad. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He came down and laid his life down for you and for me. We think of when the mob came to take him. He asked, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. Only God is the I am, the great I am. He said, I am. And everybody fell down to the ground. Showing they did not come and take his life, but he surrendered his life. He stood in front of Pilate where, as an innocent man, any innocent man would have defended himself. But he fulfilled the scriptures. And like a sheep before his shears, he was dumb. See, the Lord came down as a Savior of the world to die for you and for me. Because he loves us, he makes being in eternal life with him so easy. It's not a difficult thing. He makes eternal life easy. And so what does the summary says? He that believeth in him has everlasting life and shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not he that behaves in him. It's not those who come to church on Sunday, although that's a good thing. But that's not what gets us into heaven. It's not even those who get baptized are going to heaven. That's not what he says. This morning, do you believe that the reason you're going to heaven is because Jesus paid your way? You see, the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that wage on the cross. We all deserved it. But Jesus paid that wage. You see, on the other side of the spectrum, conversely, you don't go to hell because you never came to church. You don't go to hell because you got addicted to drugs. You don't go to hell because you murdered someone. You don't go to hell because you lied. You know why you go to hell? Hell was not created for you. You go to hell because you've not believed in the name of Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. That's why you go to hell. For we are without excuse. When you look at creation, you are without excuse. And so I want to turn to John chapter 3 just to illustrate that a little bit. In John chapter 3, verse 18 explains it to us clearly. Not in my words, but in Jesus' words. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Not for any other reason but this. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God has a message this morning. Will you accept it? Will you believe on Jesus Christ this morning? As that's the reason and only reason you're going to heaven. Not because that you believed on him and you're doing good things. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. It is by grace through faith alone, is what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 will tell us. Now, I don't ask you to believe me just because I'm here teaching. I don't want you to believe my words. My words aren't what saves you. It's the words of Christ alone that saves us. You see, history backs this up. Jesus not only died for your sins, but proved he had the power to do what he said he will by raising up again on the third day. He proved his power over sin and death because he rose again victoriously. History tells us that. History tells us that the tomb is empty. There were many people opposing Jesus that would have found his body and waved his headless body around the city if they only could, but they couldn't because he rose victoriously. And this morning, I beg of you that you would believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation to have eternal life. Because there are eternal consequences. If you're scared of hell, you should be. Hell is a nasty place. I love you. I don't want you to go there. But more importantly, God doesn't want you to go there. Today we have a baptism. And this baptism symbolizes outside what happened inside. See, when you believe in Jesus, you're agreeing that his death was your death. And his resurrection is also your resurrection. And so that's why when we baptize these young boys, they have believed this message. And we show the symbolism as they go down into the water. They're buried with Christ. And it's the symbolism as they come up, they will also be resurrected with Christ in the last day. Back in early church time, in the early church, those who were baptized were killed People tried to kill them. So it is a very serious thing to be proclaiming publicly what happened inwardly. The Bible tells us in Timothy that those who will live godly will suffer persecution. They didn't like Jesus. They won't like us. I can promise you that. And so thank you for encouraging your children to be here and to be a part of this. But I want to close with this. Jesus tells Mary, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me, though he liveth, yet shall live." And he says to Mary, "Mary, do you believe this?" That's the question for you today. Do you believe this? If you do, praise God. You have the promise of the Word of God that you will be with him forever. And just like Philip tells the Ethiopian eunuch at the end of Acts chapter 8, he says, "What stops me from being baptized?" Philip tells him, "If you believe, then you may." That's the criteria of being baptized. That's the criteria of publicly proclaiming to be the Lord's. If you have believed, then you may. And that's what we're here for today. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for what it tells us. We pray, Lord, that if there are anybody here that have not trusted, that have not believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would do that today. We're not promised tomorrow. We know that. It is appointed unto man once to die. Everybody knows that they will one day die. And so, Lord, we pray that today is the day of salvation. That we would understand the significance of today. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for the baptism and for these young boys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some stuff.